This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM, I'm Benji Shulman. This is the New Blue Review. Welcome to the program. Talking entrepreneurship today, and particularly how it relates to women. And the person that we have to help us do that is Sonia Walsh. She is the founder of Her Agency, which is a personal brand agency for female founders and executives. Sonia, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being with us on Chai FM.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me on here.
Very, very cool. Sonia, let's just start off, you are a founder, you kind of work for yourself at your own business. How did you get into this area of, let's call it female branding for business?
Of course. I mean, the business has evolved quite a lot. I've been in business for 2 years now, which it's been an exciting journey. It's also been very difficult. It's been difficult in I think, you know, many people say this. If someone had told me how difficult it was before, I never listened to them, and I wanted to do it myself. And I'm so glad that I did, because it's been a really incredible journey. And I started out, I've been in marketing my whole life, my whole career life. I came out and started doing marketing at naught, but no, I didn't. So my whole career life, I've been in marketing, and I always, my parents, you know, were both serial entrepreneurs, and I had an inclination that I wanted to start my own business at some point. I didn't think it would happen so quickly, but I started freelancing, and I was working in the sustainability space, and then really found that I wanted to work with female entrepreneurs. I've always been part of lots of women's circles, and I didn't know at the time, but it turned out to be that's what I wanted to do, and build this business for women and have an all-female team, which has evolved now to serve all only women, predominantly. But it really is a rewarding process. I think it's incredible that women can build their own businesses, but also tell their own stories.
So I'm on LinkedIn the other day, and I was looking at a friend of mine. She's built a kind of a consultancy in the HR space, and it's very much the branding is, you know, we started by women, all women team, and you know, that's who we are, and that's what we bring to this HR consultancy that she's doing. Right? It looks like she's doing a great job, and I think it's fantastic and fine. But the question is having an all female team, is that what the target is here? Or are there like other kinds of issues that when we're talking about female businesses in whatever way you want to define it, that, you know, that are really either particular challenges or particular opportunities when it comes to female-led businesses?
It's a great question. I think my thinking around this has evolved quite a lot. Originally, when I started Her Agency, Her meaning, you know, for women, having agency over what work we do, who we work with, that's really important. So I had built out this all-female team, and that was incredible. But what I really wanted to do was service female clients. And I think that there's value in both, right? But as my thinking has evolved around this, I really believe that there's an allyship that we have with men. So the spaces that I try and move in and create is, how can we create an allyship with men who, the phrase that I always think about is, how can men or anyone speak names in rooms that we don't know exist? And that's really important to me, is how can we get female entrepreneurs, or it doesn't only have to be them, but how can we get their names and build their brands out there? It depends. And I think it's completely dependent on the kind of world that you're trying to create or business that you're trying to create. But we have to also face the reality that women do not have the same access that men have in business. And it, you know, if we even think about funding and startup funding, that women only get 2% of access to VC funding. There is this glaring problem, and we need to face that and create opportunities for women.
Okay, so from what I'm hearing you saying, one of the big issues is sort of networking and access to funding. These are key things that anyone who's starting a business is definitely going to have to overcome, and there's a gap here. In terms of women founders, do they have sort of their own specific, I mean, for example, I've seen psychologists that work in this space say, you know, sometimes one of the things that women entrepreneurs need to do, be able to do is be more assertive, for example, in selling or something. Is that something that you've found is part of the challenge set as well?
Of course, I think there's multiple problems. There's one, what we you know, I work a lot in the startup space and trying to create a community for other female founders. And so I speak to a lot of female founders and try and figure out where the problems lie, because what we're seeing is VCs, venture capitalists are saying that we don't have pipeline of female founders, and we're saying we have all of these female founders. So we're trying to figure out what this gap is in between. But really, it's access to funding, which is one of them. And those, but if we think about the soft skills or softer issues, imposter syndrome is really a huge, huge one that women are facing challenges around, thinking that they don't deserve it, thinking that they don't belong, the sense that they have to prove themselves in order to be in these spaces. So they're up against those challenges, right? So not getting access to funding, not getting access to the same networks, and then also facing their own issues of imposter syndrome.
Okay, so there's those parts as well. That's an interesting insight. Now, in terms of the businesses that you're seeing in South Africa, in whatever, like, what are some of the things that people are coming up with, the kind of things that people are looking to solve as part of their business? Because that's really it, right? You've got to solve a problem as a business in order to add value and make a profit. So what are the kinds of things that people are thinking about in our context in South Africa that they want to try and address?
Do you mean from a marketing landscape? You mean from
the business themselves? Like, you know, it's a given where you're sitting, there's actually probably quite a lot of innovation, I would say, in the actual issues. And so that's part of the question.
I'll speak from a marketing lens, and then I'll speak a little bit more broadly from a female entrepreneurship lens, is that there are lots of, there's tons of innovation that is happening. Where I see a lot of businesses trip up and where they get stuck is being able to articulate what it is that they do. So they come up, you know, everyone has an idea and everyone has a good idea. It's about the execution part of it, and really knowing when founders come to me, female founders and male founders, they come to me with these incredible ideas but are not sure how to articulate it. And it's all in their head, and how do we bring that down and be able to, really, it's storytelling, right? And that's what marketing is. And I, you know, there's this saying that facts tell, story sell. So how can we take all of these ideas and put that into a story? So that's a big part of the work that I do. And I see a lot of people get stuck there. And then it's about the promotion. And this is particularly where female entrepreneurs, you know, trip up or get stuck, is being able to, what is important is to say, you know, personal branding has become this buzzword, but it is so important. And how do we build a personal brand and a brand at the same time? So how can we tell our stories as female founders or as founders in general? And how can we build that brand alongside it?
I think that's a fascinating point that you make, because particularly in the space that you're working in, I would say around the VC, people often won't necessarily invest in the idea, right? They're interested in the person, because the idea being that the entrepreneur probably could have 10 ideas, and if they're a good entrepreneur, make any one of them work. So you're investing in the person. Yeah. So it's as much about the business idea and branding as it is about getting yourself across to either, I guess, a potential client or a potential investor. So what kind of steps do you take when you may be engaging with someone to say, well, you know, let's make sure that you're thinking about this when you're having this discussion?
Of course. So there's multiple things. Let's speak about it from a personal brand perspective. So I would always say, like, make sure that, let's think about quick wins, and even for your audience, you know, if they're thinking about starting a business, what are the things that they should take into consideration, and what are the quick wins that they can implement? So I always spend quite a lot of time on the strategy side, and that a lot of, you know, marketing or strategy has such a bad rep because it's not tangible, but it's all of that planning. It's understanding who you are, who your target audience is, and what are the stories, what are your unique value proposition that you take to market. Once you have that unlocked, it's a lot easier to communicate to the market what it is that you do. So I would spend a little bit of time mapping out what that looks like and what is your story. You say, you know, you speak about investors or VCs looking at the entrepreneurs themselves, and that you're exactly right, that VCs, and you buy into an entrepreneur's story and their passion and their drive. So getting that across is super important. And the way that we do that is in a workshop space and mapping out all of those stories and what we take to market. But if we think about tangible things that we can implement, I'd really spend quite a lot of time in making sure that you have your LinkedIn set up, and it has grown so much over time. The celebrities now have LinkedIn pages, which I find amazing, and you should follow some of your favorite celebrities. But
in case they're looking for work.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you don't know, actually, because you see people that were actors and are now moving into a whole lot of starting farms, and I don't know, it's going into agriculture. So people do career pivot. And so I would make sure the LinkedIn is set up, and then look at your website and make sure that it doesn't have to be the super fancy website, but make sure that what you do comes across. So have a one pager website. And a newsletter, always discarded and people hate to write, but what you want to do is stay top of mind and start building trust and credibility and brand awareness. So when someone says, female entrepreneur says, I need to build my brand, they think of her agency. You know, you want to stay top of mind of your target audience and make sure you've got the right target audience.
Yeah, some very, very useful advice there. We're talking to Sonia Wolf today. She's from her agency, talking about women founders and personal branding on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 Chai FM, talking to Sonia Wolf today about startups, about innovation. She's from the Her Agency, looking at marketing in particular. Sonia, one of the things I'm interested in, and I don't know if you necessarily address this, but often when a particular female founder might start, I'm interested in that. Like, is that something that they're doing maybe straight out of university, or they maybe have some corporate experience? I'm wondering about how someone who might have a family, maybe this starts later on, you know, they've got their kids are slightly older, something like that. I'm interested in that sort of family dynamic and where that places female founders.
Yeah, this is a great question. I mean, female founders, they are... the, you know, starting at various stages of their lives. But what I see is a lot of the women that I work with are ex-corporate, and they've done the whole corporate, climbed the corporate ladder, built these really successful careers and said, okay, well, now I'm actually going to do what I really want to do. And they built their own businesses. And I think that's incredible, because corporate is important and it gives you invaluable experience. It teaches you how to speak to the people that make decisions. It gives you the connections. So they walk out of those corporate careers and they have all of the connections, all of the levers to pull. And there's a lot of confidence, right, that comes with running these successful businesses. Even if you're in corporate, you often have these huge, and they do have huge portfolios that they run. So they leave and start their own business and businesses. I hate this word around like passion projects, but it's not it's their passion businesses and they're starting to do what it is that they are, that they really love and what they pursue, what their passions are.
Yeah, corporate being a pipeline, and particularly in a South African context, is actually a huge part of that. I mean, do you find that people, when you talk about side hustles, I mean, it is a kind of a thing where people like start on the side, or do you find that people are like, all right, it's like we're drawing a hard line here and we're not doing anything on the side, we're just taking a risk and off we go?
It's both. And it depends on the person. So, you know, sometimes I work with entrepreneurs, women and men, who have full-time jobs and they are testing and they want to see if this is something that they can really do. So they build it and they build it on the side and they build slowly. And others just, you know, go for it, take the leap. They've got a little bit of cash that they've saved up. And they are putting money behind their business because they really believe in it. So it's a bit of both.
Now, you spoke sort of just before the break around having a good LinkedIn, having a good website, writing stuff on email, on newsletters, etc. Can you give us, without obviously naming or anything, like some kind of campaign or something that you did where people can get a feel for what it might look like to go through a strategy process with an actual company or an actual founder, and you know what kind of the result has of having gone through that process and then being able to execute in a more insightful way in terms of the business?
Of course. I mean, I don't work so much on the campaign side, but I can take you through the process of the execution, right? Because I think that is important for someone. Let's take someone who wants to start out their brand. I'll walk you through the process of someone who I like to give people names and faces, and let's think about a target audience. And so someone, call her
Joyce.
Aspiring, who did you say?
Call her Joyce.
Joyce, aspiring Joyce, and or inspirational Joyce. I think all women are inspirational, so let's call her inspirational Joyce. And she is wanting to start out her own business. She's thought about, wanting to, she has worked in consulting and wants to do her own wellness brand. She wants to start her own supplement brand. Okay, let's take that. That's not a client of mine, so there's no conflict of interest here. But so Joyce starts out as a supplements brand, and what are the things that she should think about, right? So she should think about building her own personal brand at the same time as building her brand. So if she, I would make sure that those two things are separate, that you have your personal brand that you're building. So here's the real personal story telling. If we say she's in her 40s, 50s, and she's worked in corporate, and she's had a really tough time, and while working and juggling family life, she's developed these supplements that are incredible and really help you concentrate and give you energy. Okay, that's one thing. So she would start telling those stories around her time in corporate, how difficult it was. And then we think from a brand perspective, how do we start building that brand? So those are, I would spend time in building both of those separately, setting up a LinkedIn, having a website. And then what are some creative campaigning, like campaigns that you can do? And think about campaigns not only from a perspective of social. When someone says campaign, we think TikTok or Instagram. That's one way, but there are many different ways that you can execute on a campaign. And think about events. What are upcoming, even go to markets, understanding what is out there, and also really, really understanding who your target audience is. And this is where people skim over it, because people think target audience, Joburg, they're 40 to 50, and they feel tired. That is not a target audience. Really spend time thinking about what are the key drivers for someone to want to buy your product. Spend time, hopes, fears, dreams, map all of that out, and don't brush over that. And do target audience research. Reach out to people. It's not I always say target audience is not a gut feel, and not everyone is in your target audience. So spend time getting to know them, ask them questions, take them for coffee. And then, get all of that information. And this is super important. Start speaking to people in the way that they speak. So you want to be on the same level as them, as opposed to speaking down to them. And then you would go and start be able to put your campaign together, because you've got your target audience research, and think about like what you look like, how you sound, what you speak, how you speak. And then the execution channels. Social is a big component of that. But then making sure that you go to where your audience is.
I mean, that's an interesting question, which you're talking about, both with the social and with the audience, and in fact with the personal branding. I'm very much struck at how people who are very passionate about what they do are able to fairly seamlessly integrate what they do in a non braggy way into their social media. Mm-hmm. It's the stories on Instagram, it's a picture. And sometimes people get it right and you're like, oh, wow, that's super interesting that this person is doing it. And sometimes you're like, why is my friend abusing me in their Instagram to like show me like this like random thing as part of their business? This is not cool. And I think that's quite a subtle, like from the personal branding perspective, it's not an obvious thing about how to do that.
Sure. I mean, it's not. My first thought when you say that is, if you don't tell people you own a business, then no one's going to know that, right? Like, you have to tell them about your business, and businesses are here to make a difference, sure, but are also, at the end of the day, we're here to make money. Mm-hmm. So how can you tell people about your product and what it is that you do? But yeah, pushing something down someone's throat is not a nice way to go. And you have to strike a balance. My advice with this is, it's about reps. And the first time is going to be awkward and horrible, and you're probably going to do it really badly. I mean, this is if you don't have someone doing it for you. Hopefully you get a really good marketing agency to do it for you that doesn't do that. But if you do it yourself, you have to strike a balance between telling people about what it is that you do. And you're not, remember that it's about them and not about you. So speaking about how amazing you are is not helpful. Speaking about how amazing your product can make them, that's what they want to know. People are in it for themselves, right? So when you start speaking, we immediately go, okay, but what does that mean for me? It's not a bad thing. It's part of human nature. But start telling people how your product can help them, make them amazing, give them amazing, I don't know, amazing hair, amazing, can run for like 10 seconds faster. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's important. And again, I was speaking to a female founder the other day, and she's like, I really struggle to get myself out there. Whole self-promotion thing, it's hard to do. And I don't necessarily think it's just a female thing. It's just speaking about yourself to other people is, particularly when you're trying to sell something, is difficult.
Sure, I can understand that. I mean, again, it's exposure. You have to start doing it, telling people what you do. And also, you know, if we zoom out in a bigger way, it's a much bigger lens and really believing in what you do. So if you believe in what you do and you believe in the business that you're running and the products or services that you're selling and that it really does improve the lives of your customers, why would you not want to tell them about it? So think about it from a different perspective. It's not about you, it's about your ability to solve for their problems, which your business does.
Now, talking about tools and things that help people in their business, what effect are you seeing of AI on how people, you know, wanting to start up things can use that sort of technology to sort of leverage where they're going?
Sure. I see it used a lot. I would say the most obvious, obviously, is ChatGPT or Gemini, because that's where people get stuck, is that, and not using it to write your write your articles completely, because that I think is really obvious. Mm-hmm. And what is missing when you do that is that you can't bring out your brand voice. Of course, you can train it to write in the way that to pick up tone and style, but it really doesn't replace your own way of writing and speaking. So I'd be careful with that. But ChatGPT is a good tool to use. And scheduling tools, there are many, you know, easy things is like, for businesses, it's like back and forth of like when you can set up some time to meet someone, not AI, but there are some easy tools. Another thing to think about where people trip up is design. They spend a lot of time on design work, and it can also be expensive when you outsource it. But I'm speaking less about AI tools, but I want to speak about some tools that are really helpful to entrepreneurs.
No, that's fine. I think that's definitely useful. AI is the newest one, but G Suite, all these sorts of things are amazing.
Of course. So start thinking about spending less time on whether you outsource them, which is important, but creating, and especially if you're starting out, there's this misconception that everything has to be perfect. Always think about what is the MVP, what's the smallest thing that you can start with. So if you have a simple logo, simple colors, you have your brand identity, a good enough brand identity, and just start testing. That's the most important. We spend too much time thinking about these ideas, these businesses that we want to start, but we don't do them because it doesn't look right. We don't have a website. Just start, you know, use Canva, Basic, Wix, whatever, but really get going.
Now, talking about tools, let's talk about resources, because you offer and are part of a number of networks and spaces that people who are having challenges with their brands and their with their businesses can join. Talk to us a bit about what's out there for people who are looking for solutions to some of the challenges that they're having.
Yeah, I think that is so important. And one of the biggest mistakes that I made in my first year of business is doing my own thing and not really connecting and tapping into different networks. And it really changed my business and changed a lot once I was able to tap into these different networks. So I would say that the first, I guess the most obvious for listeners here is Over the Rainbow or Orchet, which is if you are looking to tap into a Jewish network, that is a really good one. And there are many people there that could help you, whether you're part of the program or need to be put in touch with someone. They're always a great resource. I'm part of or another community that you can tap in, and they have great events, is Startup Club ZA, which I think they have wonderful events, wonderful founder, and a really good podcast of South African. I think it's South African, maybe they're African network. And then also, I mean, a shameless plug here is our own network, which is called SAME, S-A-M-E. And we have a podcast called Hotline, which is the business call that you know, the 911 call that you make to your business bestie. And we cover around, you know, all the way from building an MVP to how to structure your finances as a female entrepreneur to imposter syndrome. So really just start a LinkedIn. I mean, such a great network. And think less about how is it that I can push all of the information that I know onto people, and how can I, and think about how can I create a community of like-minded people and build from there. You'll find your tribe.
So, okay, those are all super useful. I think there's a lot of information you pack there. So if people want to connect with you, or I'm assuming in the process of what you're doing, a lot of those stuff comes up, so people can connect you. What's the best way to do it? I'm assuming LinkedIn, given that you've mentioned it now four times.
Of course, yeah. So I love LinkedIn. I think it's a great network. So they can connect with me on LinkedIn, and that would be the best platform.
Okay, so check out Sonja Wolff. That's SonjaWoolff. On LinkedIn, and then you can check out all of the resources, check out her agency, and if you are a female or even not so female founder, go and see, so that you can get the resources that you need to build your business. Sonja, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been super insightful. We appreciate your time, and have a great day and a great Heritage Day.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Bye. There we go. That's Sonja Wolff. Go check her out on LinkedIn and see what it is that she has on offer. I am Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 Chai FM.